Amen. Good to be back in the house of God. Amen. I went to, it's in Colorado. I went to church just because it said Baptist. Doesn't mean it was Baptist. But, I could have probably stayed home and read my Bible. But anyway, so I am thankful that we have a pastor that is in the Word of God. Amen. And studies the Word of God. Amen. Because I was like, we sung a song for about 15 minutes and then 10 minutes of preaching. It was like, okay. Anyway, so I'm thankful for our pastor, amen. And hopefully I don't put you to sleep today. Let's go to James chapter 1. And verse 13. James 1, verse 13. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're thankful to be in your house today. I'm thankful for everybody being here, bringing them safe. We pray for those that are not here. Lord, pray that you be with them. Pray for Daryl. We lift Daryl up to you tonight, today, Lord. And we pray that you touch his knee, Lord, and give him a quick healing, Lord. Amen. And Lord, be with me as I teach today, and Lord, let it be all of you and nothing of me, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're going to learn about being tempted. Amen. Verse 13 says, let no man say he is tempted. when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. We learn God will... cannot be tempted, amen, of evil, nor will he tempt any man. Bottom line, God doesn't lead us down the paths of where we can fall into temptations, amen. Doesn't lead us, in Psalms 23, he says he leads us down the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, amen. Every path God leads us will be the right path, amen. So I kind of get... disturbed, I guess, when I see people that I know came together in an adulterous relationship and now married again and married to each other after that, and say, well, I'm glad God brought us together. And I'm going, what? The God of this world might have, or it did, wasn't our God in heaven, amen?
Right.
So sometimes God gets blamed for things he doesn't do. But God will not tempt any of us of evil. God will not make you take a job that takes you away from your family, from the house of God. God's not going to do that, amen? He's not going to lead you down the wrong path. that's why Matthew 14:3, Matthew describes Satan as a tempter. It's a tempter, the god of this world. He's behind the scenes, tempting us, wanting us to fall. Bottom line, if it doesn't match God's word, yeah, we shouldn't be doing it, amen? Verse 14 tells us every man, and women, you ain't left out here, is tempted. We're all going to be tempted. We all have that. Every day we're going to be tried, amen? Some are going to be worse than others, but all of us will face being tempted. We see that in James chapter 2, or 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He's talking to the brethren, right? So we know that temptation will come. We see that temptation draws us away by using our own lust. Drawing us away from what? From God's will in our life. We all have our own lust. We all have our own temptation. Something that will... not all of us have the same. Sometimes we sit there and go, well, why does They do that. I can't believe they do that. Are they saved? Well, maybe that isn't, you know. We can fall into that. You know, I remember being a young Christian.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, well, I can't believe they do that. Well, be thankful you don't. You know, and pray for them, amen. So we all have our own lust. We all have our different struggles. I don't know what it's like to struggle with homosexuality. I don't know what that struggle is. And I don't know, you know. So you pray for them, amen. Or anything. So we need to be careful on that. I like how God says it's our own. We need to own up to our own lust, amen. We need to deal with it and acknowledge it, amen. The world today wants to call it a disease. And God calls it sin. How can a disease, if you never took in a drink of alcohol, how can you become an alcoholic? Now, have you never taken drugs? How can you become a drug addicted to drugs? Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a disease; it's sin.
Right.
And if we never indulge in it, it can never affect us. Amen. And enticed. Now comes the bait. It literally means allure, to bait. You guys are fishermen, we use that. Got to use the right bait for that fish to bite. And the tempter's out there trying to use that right bait. And three kinds of baits that are used. We see that in 1 John 2:16. Let's go there. We all know it, but let's go there anyway. 1 John 2:16. Getting drier. I hear that First Peter. 1 John 2:16. Let's go 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world's going to pass away and the lust thereof. It won't last forever. Remember the three baits that are used in our attempts being tempted. Lust of the eyes looks good. Lust of the flesh tastes good, feels good, it's fun. And usually what gets us, which is the killer here, is the pride of life.
Yes.
I need it. I deserve it. I need to be happy. I deserve to be happy.
Yeah, right.
That's usually the killer there. It's a pride. God hates pride, right? Amen. The only thing we deserve is hell. And that's not taking it lightly there. So when lust hath conceived, we go back to James. So then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When it is conceived, that means basically is when we take the bait. And so it brings forth sin. Anything that controls is contrary to the word of God is sin. Let's go to James 4:17. When we think of, sometimes we think of big sins, adultery, lying, you know, anything that's against the word of God is sin. Says 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Mm-hmm.
Every sin put Jesus on the cross, amen. We shouldn't take sin lightly. My sin ain't no better than anybody else's sin. So then after sin, it says it bringeth forth sin, and then and sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Spiritual death, it could be physical death. I think of my brother-in-law. He said he was saved, but he still partook in drinking. And the more he took of it, and the more he got hooked on it, and next thing you know, he drank himself to death. That was the first time I could really see a person drink themselves to death. It was sad. Physical death, spiritual death, out of fellowship with God. We can't walk in darkness and walk with God at the same time.
Right.
Death to your testimony. Mm-hmm. Satan, after we're saved, you know, he can't take our soul, but he can take our testimony. He can ruin our testimony. Jesus warned us about that in John chapter 10. Satan wants to destroy everything that is of God.
Right.
He is not our friend. He might come to you as a friend. Verse 7 in chapter 10. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I think, I don't know what he was reading out of, but some versions leave out more and abundantly. It's like, what? We want more in there, amen? We want an abundant, God wants an abundant life with us, amen? For us, amen? Satan wants to destroy us, but their Savior wants to help us. We got a Savior that wants to help us in a time of need. He's there for when temptation comes to us. Let's go to Hebrews. I'm glad we have an awesome Savior. Amen. Hebrews 2, verse 18. Let's go up to... We'll go to 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. Amen. That he might be merciful and faithful. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of people For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Succor is to want to help, run to. He's there to help us, amen, in the time of need. We got an awesome Savior, amen. Was tempted but sinned not, right, amen. Aren't you glad he's there to help us? Aren't you glad that he's there to help us? We're not alone. God will never leave us nor forsake us. We've got to remind ourselves of that. God's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And he's always there to help us. But Satan wants to say, you know what? Where's God at in all this? How come you're having all these troubles? Nobody cares. You know, we can feel all alone sometimes. I've been there, you know. All is forsake, you know. It's like, wow, my life's a mess. But God's there. He's there to help us. Amen. Let's go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's go to verse 11 here. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
Good.
Sometimes we get prideful. I can handle that. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm strong. Usually pride cometh, and there's fall is after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Been there. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. We have an awesome God, an awesome Savior, and a God that will always give us a way to escape. Amen? And I just want to look at a few ways we can escape. But we also got to be looking for the door, right?
Right.
Looking for the way. And there's going to be a way. There's going to be a way to escape because God says it. Amen? We just need to flee wickedness or never go by it. Let's go to Proverbs 4. Sometimes, you know, take heed lest ye fall. So sometimes when we can put ourselves in areas where if we weren't there, we would have never been tempted.
Right.
You know, sometimes we open things we shouldn't open or look at things we shouldn't. But if we're not in a bad place, we're not going to have to fight temptation. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. I love this. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. That is awesome. God, I remember when I first got saved, God gave me that verse. And we just got to be honest with ourselves, amen. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be around the path of the wicked. We don't want to go the way of evil men. We shouldn't be in places where we used to be when before salvation. You know, I even thought of that when I was even before Jesus. I'd be at a bar, and again, I probably told this story before, but it made me think, as a guy that's trying to quit alcohol, he's at a bar.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, preach the gospel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's, Jesus sat with sinners. No, the sinners sat with Jesus. Amen.
Right.
Anyway, and 2 weeks later, he'd be there drinking again. So it's like, you know, God says we shouldn't even enter the path of the wicked.
Right.
We shouldn't even go in the... We shouldn't even turn on that TV show that we know that's going to show things we shouldn't see and shouldn't hear. We shouldn't click on that, you know, website. I mean, just don't go down it. It's wicked. God doesn't agree with it. Stay away from it. I like how he says avoid it. Pass not even by it. Turn from it, repentance, and pass away. Just get away from it. God knows us, amen? But the path, I like this verse here too, in verse 18 says, but the path of the just is as a shining light, and it shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You know, that's what we should be. We should shine more and more until the perfect day, till Jesus takes us home, amen?
Amen.
I like that verse. I preached a message on that a long time ago. Still love that verse. Anyway, we shouldn't even try to be in a spot where we could be tempted. Amen? I was thinking about Eve. And I never really thought of it this way. It's like, was Eve hanging around the tree? You know? It doesn't really tell us, but it also doesn't tell us that Eve traveled over to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Maybe she was right there, pondering about it, thinking about it. You know, God doesn't say that, but I was like, wow, I wonder how come she was so close.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it wasn't like the garden. She said it was in the midst of the garden. Why are you hanging around the midst? Get on the outer. Get somewhere else. Get away from that temptation. Amen? I was thinking about that. I was like, wow, I never really thought of it that way. That other escape route that God can give us is by others. God gave David an escape route. Let's go to 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. God will use other people to give us that escape route. Amen. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all the Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem." That was his first mistake. He stayed. Amen. Wasn't where he's supposed to be. "And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed," just stayed in bed, "and walked upon the roof." I mean, that wasn't bad. He got up, arose off the bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. He should have turned there. But anyway, David sent, instead of turning and saying, "I shouldn't look upon a naked woman, another man's wife. I shouldn't covet another man's wife." David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, here it is, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Right there should have been the warning.
That's right.
There was his escape. There was David's escape. He should have realized. We see that in Exodus 20:17. Let's go there. David knew the Bible. Right when he heard that, he should have said, "Yeah, you're right. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house." I'm glad nobody covets my house. That's why I bought an old house. I help him out there. "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife." Amen. Shouldn't have coveted another man's wife, right? His neighbor's wife. Deuteronomy 22:22. Oh, it's easy to covet somebody's house, I tell you. There's days like, wow, it'd be nice to have a nice house. You walk in these houses. And then I say, no, I don't want to live for the world, amen. There's nothing wrong with a new house, but 22 says, "If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel." I think David's pride got to him, and he was king, and he was above God's law. Right there, he should. When that guy said, "You know, ain't this Uriah's wife?" "Yeah, it is. Okay, forgive me, Lord. I'll go to bed." But God gives us escapes, amen. God will use your kids. Dad, you shouldn't say that. Oh, yeah, you're right. I think about, you know, you're working and you're in charge of your own time card, and both of you guys are filling out your time cards, and you guys took a 45-minute lunch. You wrote down a half hour. Your other guy writes down a half hour. Like, whoa, yeah. It's tempting. We're all tempted with things. Well, you know, we're kind of short this week on money. Well, it's 15 minutes. You know, things like that. We can be tempted to do things. God uses the Holy Spirit to remind us of Scripture. There's another way out. We have hidden our hearts. That's why we need to read the Word of God. I can't believe that people can follow God and they never read His Word.
That's right.
That don't make sense, does
it?
The Word, 119:111 says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." Amen. God, the Holy Spirit, will bring a scripture to mind, to our mind, and convict us of what we're doing or what we're looking at, what we're seeing, what we're being tempted with. I think of Joseph, even Joseph being tempted by Potiphar's wife. You know, this guy was a scrappy young man. He's a young man, teenage man, and it easily took upon that temptation. But he didn't want to sin against his Potiphar and God. God most of all. But he wanted to sin against his boss. And he ran.
Yeah.
You know, he could have easily sat there and talked with her, and, you know, like she wanted him to. You know, it's so easy. You know, affairs, when people say it just happened, if you look at it, all of, if you do a survey on affairs, it began with a friendship. And I'm going to talk things that you don't, should only be talking with your wife or husband. Anyway, but, you know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. The Holy Spirit's slapping you upside the head. Look for that escape route. Another escape route is just repent. Turn around. Go the other way. Amen. David should have, when he's seen Bathsheba, when he's seen her naked, he should have just went and turned away. Mm-hmm. And that's the first look. But if it's the second look, then it's, then you let, you gave into that temptation.
Right.
But you know what? We would blame David, right? What about Bathsheba? You know, we're always getting on David, but you know, why was she up exposing herself on a rooftop? Why did she go over to David's house? Mm-hmm. She could have easily said, no, I'm married. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was thinking about that. I always blame David. But, but you know, so there's things that, you know, that's why we don't have, you know, women shouldn't dress immodestly, unmodestly. I always, not get a kick, I always get disturbed about it when women are dressed and half naked, and all of a sudden they see a guy staring at them. They go, "Oh, you pervert!" Well, you know, well, if you wouldn't be dressing unmodest, he probably wouldn't be looking at you. And if he is, then yeah. But anyway, it's like, yeah, well, you're provoking that. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, but repent. Just repent and turn the other way, amen. I think of Cain, and God gave him so many chances to repent. Right. You know, you read that story, and all he had to do was repent. But he wouldn't. The hardness of his heart, his countenance fell, and the hardness of his heart led him deeper and then deeper and then deeper. Sin was lying at the door, man. God warned him. Sin lied at the door. You know, and as the more we refuse the escape routes that God gives us, the harder our heart becomes, and sin's lying at the door. We just need to repent.
Right.
And get away from it. Run from it. Like Joseph did. Remember, tempted isn't a sin unless we allow it to be draw us away of our with our own lusts, and then we take the bait. Let us always remember, in the heat of temptation, there's always an escape route. And God is always there to help. Let's go back to James chapter 1. And I like this here. We got an awesome God, amen. And that's why he gives us our word. See, this book is for the believers, right? And if so, after salvation, we were perfect, we wouldn't need this book, right? Mm-hmm. God knows who we are, and God knows what we're going to do. Amen. So we go back to James here as I close. So we'll start with verse 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to him all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. Get this. Let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of sea, driven in with the wind and tossed. Let no man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. What he's saying is, I'm asking God wisdom. God gives you wisdom. Well, that's okay, I'll do it my way. That's what he's saying. We refuse the escape route God gives us. Amen. So let's not be a double-minded man. Let's always be looking for the escape routes. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful again that you care about us, Lord, and you always will provide us an escape route, Lord. And Lord, whatever sources you use, Lord, let us always be looking. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.